And so now we're privileged to have our brother Michael Balco here. And he has, I think, a very interesting title, very appropriate title. Last time we heard about decorum. Now we're going to hear about overlaid with gold. Overlaid with gold. Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Thank you, Brother Rick, for the prayer. Dear ones, we're certainly blessed and privileged, Sister Vicki and I, be here today rejoicing with you. We appreciated the services this morning, season of fellowship, and feeding on His words, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we also wanted to bring some love. Sister Vicki and I were over in St. Petersburg last Sunday, and we want to bring the love of the St. Petersburg brethren. Brother Dennis and Sister Gracia Carmer had hoped to be here, but I guess they weren't able to. She was not real well last Sunday. And also Brother David Wentz had hoped to come, but he had to go to a wedding because he was the best man in the wedding. So he's from Clearwater Ecclesia. But they want to remember to you, and again, many of the individual members sent their love. Now, dear brethren, we thought we would consider during our time the subject that's been announced, overlaid with gold. We all realize that there are many references in the scriptures made to gold. They mention gold, its uses, and some of the symbolism related to it. And if we look back at an early reference to gold in the book of Genesis, this is taken from Genesis 2:10. Genesis 2:10 and also then verse 11. A river went out of Eden and became four heads. The first is Pison, that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, and there was bdellium and the onyx stone. Now the passage suggests that this river might represent the human race. It parted. The human race had gone out of Eden, that paradise condition, out of perfection due to sin, and then it was divided. It has been divided into four classes. That's brought out in reprint 4240. Reprint 4240. Now, the most important branch to us is the first one, which separated from the others. So we have this river coming out, separates into four parts. The first one, the most important, separated from the others because it went to the land of gold. And we believe that this is a reference to those who will be of the first resurrection. They're separated from the rest of the world, and then they faithfully go on, and if faithful to death, they obtain the divine nature. They go on into that land, that place of gold. And we realize gold is a symbol of the divine. Now, we want to use as our theme text, brethren, the text from Exodus 26:32. Exodus 26:32. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twine linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang upon it four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold upon the four sockets of silver. Now, throughout this chapter of Exodus, beginning really with Exodus 25:11, and going on through chapter 38, you realize that we have a description of the construction of the tabernacle, the services, the ordination of the priest, and so forth. But we want to really focus on the construction of the tabernacle, the furnishings really of the holy and most holy are brought out in these verses. And we read these accounts, and we're able to notice how many things were actually overlaid with gold. Many, many references. And the fact that all of the things of the tabernacle overlaid with gold implies that it represented this condition of such only as are called to the divine nature. So those that are called to this divine nature. And you realize that in this tabernacle picture, the tabernacle is a picture of the church. You have justification, sanctification, and glorification. Remember that this tabernacle pictures, again, that development of the church. And it's brought out that way. And so we see the church's development there. They're drawn to our Lord, the keeper of the gate. They go into the court. You wash in that laver. And again, you being called of the Lord. And then you must progress and take steps. And again, I'm using this as a reference that this is part of your being overlaid with gold. You're striving to approach the Heavenly Father. Like-mindedness with the dear Son, who is a representative of the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. So if you're walking in his footsteps, you're striving to develop in a way pleasing to the Father through the work of the Son. And so throughout all of these scriptures, we see these wonderful things taking place. And it's a description of the construction of the tabernacle. Again, we want to make particular reference to the inner veil. I don't have time, of course, to go on every little part and intricate detail. And I know if you study that in your tabernacle shadow studying. But we have this inner veil. Again, it's a reference to the type of Christ's human body. It's brought out in Matthew 26:26. And also 27:50. Now, Matthew 26:26, his broken body and his blood, the blood of the New Testament, shed for the remission of sin, again, shed for many. And also in Hebrews 10:20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And in verse 21, we have a high priest over the house of God. So again, as we begin our Christian walk, we approach the Father through the Son, and eventually as we go on and develop, we're able to approach the Heavenly Father. We call him Father. He hears our prayers. He listens to us. He's concerned about every detail of our personal lives. He blesses us and helps us along this narrow way, which will lead to that full development if we have faith and trust in him in all things. So as we recall, brethren, also, this veil barred the entrance into the holiest, or the most holy. And this was really a most expressive symbol of truth, and it shows to us, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 3:20, and also Hebrews 9:8. We recall also that at our Lord's death, an unseen hand rent that veil when Christ died, Matthew 27:51, and thus giving instant access to God, to all those who come by faith in him. And again, it's through that shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. It was an end by legality. The way to be with God in heaven was then opened up. And we further recall, though, that there was this brazen altar. The brazen altar, not covered with gold, it was covered with brass. The offering of our Lord's perfect humanity, his human nature, his body, his life rights. There's references to this in Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14 and Hebrews 10:5-10. Now if we look back to the most holy, not until the actual death of Christ or until the second veil of actual death was passed could those glories which are typified in it be realized. Again, they had to be realized by this death. And here is just a little recounting of the order of events. The actual death of the human body, second veil, resurrection to divine nature. There's a waiting time typified by the space between the ark and the veil. The satisfaction of justice. There's a presentation to Jehovah. And there's this glorification entering into the ark condition. And the same order is pictured in Christ's resurrection. Now, really, I want to focus again, as I said in my earlier comments, on that phrase, overlaid with gold. Overlaid, to overlay. It means to cover up, to be wrapped up. And there's really a significance to be found in these words. Again, overlaid with gold. If you contrast that once again with the brazen altar, there's a scripture that I just thought of, and it's Isaiah 60, verse 17. and this brass. For brass I will bring gold, for wood, brass. Now you have the church, the human nature, brass. Your justified human bodies, your life rights given up, changed to divine nature of gold. Isaiah 60:17. For wood, the fallen human nature of mankind, changed to brass. Perfection on the human plane. This is really brought about in our Lord's words. I will also bring peace and righteousness. It's a divine intervention. It's a blessing to all the families of the earth through the blessed nation, the nation of Israel, Zion. They come blessings. They'll shout with joy. Because why? We realize that the sorrow and sighing flees away. We also have the affliction of Christ Jesus, which we want to always remember. Colossians 1:24. And this is, we know, a reference to self-sacrifice. He had self-sacrifice, self-denial. And it was really termed cross-bearing. We term that same way in our own lives. I've taken up my cross to follow in the Lord Jesus' footsteps. Cross-bearing is a hard thing to accomplish. It takes effort. It takes your strength. It takes guidance and direction to fulfill. Now, the church will not only share her Lord's suffering for righteousness, but it is also promised a share in all the glories of the Lord. 1 Peter 5:9. And you know, brethren, there's a requirement. You must experience baptism of will and heart into death with Christ. And then you're inducted into this membership in this church. This is termed, as we have termed it, filling up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ. You saw what he suffered, what he gave up. You saw at what great cost the redemption of the world of mankind was paid for from sin and death. You know, the only begotten Son of God, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. So it's our desire, we desire that privilege. We also must present our bodies a living sacrifice as the Lord presented his. And then since our Lord adopts the flesh of his followers as his, the church is then said to be filling up that which is behind his hard experiences. And what do they lead to? Even unto our death. But it's a privilege, brethren. It's a great privilege in sharing the Lord's cup. It's not for the world of mankind. All opportunity to share in the sufferings and glory belong to the church class. Remember what the Lord asked some of his disciples, his footstep followers? They were arguing about who could be first to sit beside him and so forth, the chiefest position. What did he say to them? Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Of course, his disciples at that time did not fully have a comprehension of those words. But they soon would. But you know, brethren, we, through the eye of the Holy Spirit, are able to comprehend what those mean. And we say, yes, I want to take up that way. I want to drink of that cup, the suffering, the shame, the persecutions. And so then, as a result, if these persecutions come from living close to the Lord as part of our reasonable service, part of our duty, we are to view them then as part of our cup. The body as well as the head must be subjected to the discipline of suffering. The suffering of Christ. That discipline is a good word. Because again, the old man might say, oh, I don't want to suffer, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. We heard it expressed already today. But it takes great discipline to follow in this narrow way. It takes great discipline, as the brother brought out earlier in his comments, to do the things that the Lord would have you do. To pray for guidance and help. To do the things which are right and good and of a good report, because they don't glorify me or any of us here, but they bring glory and honor to your Father which is in heaven. That's our desire. So these sufferings of Christ, and it's a share in which all believers are cleansed by his blood, were invited during the gospel age, giving thanks to be counted worthy to reign with him forever in glory. You know, brethren, that's why you're called a chosen generation. a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9. You're peculiar because you're zealous of good works. You're striving to put down pride and envy and arrogance and all those things that are contrary to the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. Titus 2:4. You, brethren, are a people for a purpose, it says in the Diaglot. Separate from the world. Again, we heard it expressed. You're in the world, but not of it. Again, if you have that attitude, you are beginning to be overlaid with gold. Your transformation of character has begun. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Behold, the former things are passed away. All things become new. Revelation 24:1. What does that mean? You have new hopes, new aims, new ambitions. You have set your hope on things above, Colossians 3:2. You are developing that new mind, which will lead to a birth, become a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new order of beings. You are developing the fullness of which will come at this resurrection, the first resurrection, as we mentioned earlier in our comment, showing that first branch of the river coming out of Eden and leading to a place of gold, once again, leading on to divine nature. Brethren, since you're striving to be and really are different from others, you are possessed with a special love. Again, the special love loves the things that are good, the things that are just, noble, and acceptable to God. We have the Spirit of Christ Jesus, a spirit full of consecration to the Lord, of self-sacrificing, and to know no will but the will of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our goal. You know, our goal is Christ and Christ alone. Tell me not of gold and treasure and things on earth. We had it expressed in your thoughts. We do the best we can in our daily lives and our jobs, but we do more than the best we can in service to the Heavenly Father. This is our where we hope that we will spend all eternity in Him, with Him, in the heavenlies. So, you are adhering to the word of the Lord. It's your law of life. You have a strong faith, a decided faith, and you act accordingly. You have zeal, striving to be in harmony with God's plans and purposes. You desire to praise Him. And again, if you have a heart filled with the spirit of love and praise and devotion, there's not much room for complaining, as we had expressed by Brother Stephen earlier, murmuring, because you're content. I'm content with ever the lot I get from the Heavenly Father. Paul said that. You know, no matter what my circumstances have been, I had really good circumstances, I've had really bad circumstances, hard, fleshly experiences. But he said, I have been content in whatever place or case I have been in service to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Developing again those fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. And you go on, part of this overlaying, as it's overlaid, and often, you know, gold as it's overlaid, it's not just put in one big sheet. Sometimes you have sheets and you overlay it and you go on the next sheet until your work's done. And so you reach these quarter marks until you reach that mark of perfect love. And that's what we want to do. You're sharers in the sufferings of Christ and not in any other kind of suffering. Laying down your own lives, showing loyalty for the brethren. And what does he say? Blessed is he that suffers for righteousness' sake. You are being buried with him by baptism unto death. Romans 6:4. And being dead with Christ, Romans 6:8, you are then made conformable to his death. Philippians 3:10. Now the church, as we've been, I think all of us who have spoken so far, mention the memorial. The church with their head as one loaf, broken at this time, again, during the gospel age, as the consecrating of the antitypical priesthood requires this time to complete, So the sin offering, it commenced with the head, members of his body, fill up that which is behind, the sufferings of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:7. For his body's sake, again, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. How can I strive to do this? It was a foremost thought in the mind of our Lord Jesus. He said, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I asked you to do. John 15:13. Once again, we have these members of the body of Christ, as I started to mention earlier. We had a study in the sixth volume for the memorial. We've had discourses reminded to remember the other members of the body, our yoke fellows. On the night of memorial, there were prayers rendered on behalf of those that are gathered in similar gatherings throughout the world. These are not just words. This is sincerity of heart. It's your heart desire. And the more you do that character likeness, again, the more you're being overlaid with gold. You're going on in a way pleasing to Him. You're mindful of, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Perhaps that came to your mind too, Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather the wheat into the barn, Matthew 13:30. Again, we're gathered when we're fully ripened. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels, Malachi 3:17. Now, this drawing, you're called of the Father and through the Son. The drawing is primarily to the Father and not to the Savior. The Father, again, does the calling, but you make this covenant. It's made individually by each member of the entire church. What is He offering you? Life, seeing His Son face to face as He is, the divine nature. And you do your part by carrying out day by day, your covenant of consecration. It's rendered in the comments as covenant-keeping sacrificers, filling up your fellowship covenant. Now, the high priest, after offering his own sacrifice, was to offer the offering of the people, the goat, and make an atonement for them. Again, all of Israel, as Jehovah had commanded. The head suffers first, then the body follows. Again, consider him who endured this cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12:3. Comprehend his course. Consider his example, his teaching. He endured it with love. He endured it with a peace that came from knowing that his Father was with him, watching over him, and that he was performing this work that was ordained, blessed by the Father, totally approved by the Father. Because he remembered that the Father loved him. And Paul brought that out in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Now, our Lord only had 3.5 years of ministry. But that was a hard 3.5 years of ministry. And he suffered long. But he realized his loving, kind Father would be with him, helping him every step of the way. And then we see that Christ is gathering those who have also this hearing ear and a heart that has been changed to now have the opportunity to develop and to reach the mark of perfect love. Now concerning the body of Christ, we are serving the church, again, not the world. We want to strive to be pleasing to Him. We want to strive to be used in His service. You've taken up your cross. You follow in the footsteps of that crucified one. And Christ is called to the divine nature. The Christ is called to that divine nature. You're anointed with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 12:18 and 15:4. And as you've taken up your cross, as we said, the rightful adopted heirs of God can be identified by their sacrificing for all who love and serve the truth. There's this scripture that came to mind. It was brought out in one of our studies last Monday, I think it was. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 25:11. It's a lesson along the lines of the proper tongue. Our words, unctuous and blessed to all, we're supposed to speak as having, remember, we're told to have anointed tongues, oily tongues, that speak words that are pleasing, soothing, helpful, anointed with the Holy Spirit. So, you do this because your steps are ordered of the Lord. You walk, you're protected, you're taught by the light of God's Holy Spirit. And again, this was the first thing noticed upon entering the holy, and so the first effect of beginning of the Holy Spirit is an illumination of your mind. Hebrews 10:23 and Ephesians 1:18, enabling us to discern spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. And if you do this, you let your light shine amongst men. As we said, you are beginning to be overlaid with gold. If faithful, you should be called by a new name. Isaiah 62:1-4. She shall be called Jehovah the Righteousness, or the Righteousness of the Jehovah. Jeremiah 33:16. Jehovah, Sekenu, our righteousness of Jehovah, the bride of Christ, that she may be the righteousness of God through Him. 2 Corinthians 5, and also verse 5:21. I will write upon him a new name, Revelation 3:12. The name of the bridegroom is given to the bride. And then each member of the body of Christ, each jewel will be placed in its particular setting by God. God has set the members in His body, 1 Corinthians 12:18, given a crown of glory in the royal diadem, a lamp, a beautiful ornament in the divine hand. And our Lord was the first setting in that great diadem, and then followed by His footstep followers. The diadem, the crown, which again is set in gold, the divine nature, is the ultimate reward of any prize, any running, any race that was ever done since the history of mankind began. It's a reward for divine nature. And you, brethren, have an opportunity to be part of that. Look at Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried with fire, at the cost of self-sacrifice the treasure can be purchased, only at the cost of entire consecration or sacrifice of all that we have to Christ. And this is what we want to do. Go on and lead a life pleasing to Him. You know, brethren, we have this wonderful tabernacle picture. And we also have another picture. And my time has really gone by quickly. In addition to the tabernacle, we have account of the building of the temple of God in Jerusalem built by Solomon in 1 Kings 6, 1-38. It was probably richer, the pastor said, in its ornamentation and more costly than any other temple. It also represents so glorious a class and such rich blessings of God to men that it was appropriate that the type would be so costly. Now, Solomon was not only a prince of peace, but a wise, rich king who built this temple because what? It was God's will that he do so, that it be done. And Solomon represents that great king, our Lord Jesus. Matthew 12:42. The great foundation stones, which were massive stones, were laid first, which represented the prophets and the apostles of God. Ephesians 2:20. Of course, this house is typical of a greater spiritual temple built of the living stones, 1 Peter 2:5. Each one fitted and prepared for its place. Remember, each stone in that actual building was quarried, chiseled, and shaped in another place and brought there and fit exactly where it belonged. Added to the temple until its completion, until the resurrection power is fulfilled. You know, Solomon used cedar in the construction of his temple. And he overlaid it with pure gold. The walls, the floors, the ceilings, everything. That's in verses 18-22. Now, you have a reference to wood. Now, if you look back briefly to the reference of wood that was used in the tabernacle construction, the shittim wood, the acacia tree, a strong, hard wood. When I was reading about that, the rings are close together. Now, this wood represents the called out, chosen ones of God. They develop hardness because they go through difficult trials and experiences. Their reward is overlaid with gold to the divine nature. Now look at the wood again, used in the construction of this, the temple of Solomon. Sometimes you may think that wood was merely used as a filler. Again, it's lightweight, so you wouldn't have pure gold because we realize they had to move the tabernacle from place to place every once in a while. And so, in a sense, wood, hay, stubble have no place in the true temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:12. But this choice of wood, again, is very significant, I believe. It's cedar wood. Cedar is an evergreen. An evergreen tree which represents everlasting life. And so we see that in this construction, that cedar wood, now the temple is a place where mankind, through the completed church, approaches God and has the opportunity for everlasting life on this earth. See the two differences of the construction? The acacia wood, a hard wood, withstanding those dry experiences in the Bible land areas. Now this cedar wood. Also, it's fragrant because, again, it has to do with the blessings to all the families of the earth. There's another important difference. The temple was not complete until they brought in the ark. When the ark was placed in position, typifying that every member of the body of Christ must be changed from this tabernacle to the temple or permanent position in the first resurrection. Unlike the furnishings or article found in the tabernacle, the only thing in the ark, again, were the tables of stone of the law, showing that Christ would meet all the requirements of God's perfect law. The law, in the future case, would lead to a life in accordance with being obedient to God. You know, that'll always be part of a divine arrangement, divine covenant. I'm using the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He explains to us, the law is love, and love never faileth. The greatest of these things is love. So if it's his perfect law of love, that's going to endure forever. The golden bowl of manna, a type of immortality, and the budded rod, a blessing, fruitfulness and privilege of service of the Levites will end as a type in the present dispensation. They will meet with the tabernacle conditions of what? Glory, honor, and immortality represented in the temple. These things will have been fully entered into by the overcomers of the church. There's no table of showbread made of shittim wood, overlaid with gold, representing Christ in the church, holding forth the word of life. You know, we partake of it ourselves and we hold it forth to others. This is the way we build up one another in this most holy faith. It's compacted, knit together in love by that which every joint supplieth. Again, Ephesians 4:16. The importance of each and every member of the body of Christ. The house represents the glorified Christ. It is the dwelling place of the Father. Once again, there's pure gold. The faith and character of the true church of God is represented in gold, silver, and precious stones. Of course, I recall, brethren, if you just think about gold, silver and precious stones, they need polishing. So does brass. How many of you have ever put silver away in the cupboard? Bring it out. Is it real shiny and you can see yourself in it? No. Kind of needs shined up, probably. The stones need polishing. Brass, I've had brass laying around. You shine it up, it's real, you can see yourself again. But you know, gold is not like that. Gold keeps its luster. I've seen gold brought up from shipwrecks, filmed 5,000 feet underwater, and it still had a shine on the gold, the way it was struck in the 1800s. It still had a luster. You know, that divine nature never fades because it reflects the character of God. And we want to make sure that we take fast and hold fast, firm, these deep things of God. This is that gold spoken of in Revelations 3:18, excuse me. True, heavenly riches, divine things, divine truth. It is based upon the wisdom that comes from above. And also, as we realize that there were four posts that held up this linen curtain. Remember the linen curtain? It was interwoven with scarlet, purple, blue. These wonderful things of God's character. The four posts, the attributes of God, hold up these things. Laid in four sockets of silver. God's wisdom, justice, love, and power. Psalm 89:14 and 1 John 8:16. It teaches us to realize that the reverence of God, of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. The silver sockets, a symbol of truth, reality. This seems to say to us that inside this veil you'll be perfect to one day really and truly become new creatures. It's a promise from God. It shows that we have a faithful Father, fully able to develop everything that He said He would do for us. A faithful Father promises to help us. But you know, there's something that has to be polished before we obtain that complete overlaying of gold. It's our characters. You have to be tried. Again, the gold has to be tried. It's cast in a crucible for refining. It requires faithful and constant submission to this again, discipline of the Lord. And then it requires a hard attitude. Examine me, Father. Know me and try my reins. The Father's going to look at you. He's going to examine you, but you're willing to give Him this opportunity. As our time is growing to a close, let's just a few more comments and then we'll close our discussion for today. You know, you have the colors used in the curtain here that goes into the most holy. You have blue, faithfulness, purple, royalty, scarlet, a symbol of the blood of the ransom, fine linen, a symbol of righteousness and purity. Again, this purity could not come to us unless first there was a sacrifice. And also that scarlet string that's interwoven in this linen curtain and also in the priestly garments, showing that the blood of Christ made all these things possible. Numbers 19:2, this red heifer brought without a spot, which was slain, the blood sprinkled, the type of the sacrifice of Christ. What beauty, brethren, there is to really behold this wonderful plan of the ages. It'll bring about the establishment of you, if you're faithful unto death, being a pillar in that temple of God, Revelation 3:12. Again, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. A very important piece of the part of God's plan of the ages, set by the master builder. Indeed, great is your reward in heaven, Luke 3:23. The house of God, the dwelling place of the church, pillars, temples, it's really a picture of the New Jerusalem. God dwells there. And out of this New Jerusalem, as we read in Revelation 21:18, the building of the wall of it was like jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And also, out of this, out of the throne, there was a river, the river of the water of life and truth. And whoever wanted to could drink of it. And they get everlasting life on a restored, perfect earth. Isaiah 11:9, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. There shall be a highway so plain that the wayfaring men, though fools, will not err therein. Isaiah 35:8, for I will remember their sin no more. The great mediator, the Christ head and body, will accomplish these things. Brethren, may each of us, the consecrated footstep followers of our Lord, press on to that mark that's set before us. Be submissive to the process, our transformation of character, that it may end with that complete overlaying of gold and you obtaining the divine nature. May the Lord add his blessing.